Amen. We thank Thee, Father, we can pray unto Thee and bring our requests. Thou art able to hear us and let us always hear. Thou art omnipotent and omniscient, all wise and everywhere present. And we pray for those that we've prayed for, that they may receive whatever comes of these prayers, whatever benefit, or if it's just the same, no change. Help them to bear up with it and to be confident that Thou still dost love them, and especially if they're saved, help them to look to Him, our Savior, for rest and peace. If they're not saved, may they come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer, trust in Him, and have His promise and patience and comfort as only He can comfort. Now help us as we study up Thy Word in this book of Romans this evening, and guide us and direct us, that we may not find out what Thou have for us in the Scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, we're in the book of Romans, and we're Romans chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 6 tonight. I think what's wrong with the mic?
1 Corinthians?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 11.
1 Corinthians, okay. Romans is Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Oh, my. Okay, I'm sorry, I mixed up. 1 Corinthians, okay. What is the chapter we're in now?
11.
Chapter 11. What verse did we start with?
33,
I think, isn't it? 33. 33 and 34. Okay. All right, I'm having a trouble with the microphone right there. Testing, cut it all the way up, I don't know what that might be. All right, I hope they can hear me. I guess they can hear out there, but we can't hear inside. But you can hear all right.
I can hardly hear you myself.
I can hardly hear yourself. So
I was hearing the signs all these things.
Yes.
So just now.
Testing? Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing.
So it's going
out.
It's going out. On the inside, so people can hear. So there's a.
We wiggled that thing around before, and it was humming, and now. I need that to set up closer then.
I can't hear you.
Turn.
You want a program?
Amp on and off.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. How do you do that?
There's a switch down here.
Oh, I see. There we go. Testing.
That's
testing. What? That was it. Okay. Thank you. All right. With all that, correction on the book that we're in. And
much nicer.
Also much nicer. And also the sound. So if, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Was it 32 we started with?
Chapter
11. Chapter 33. Okay. Now, we talked about chastening last time. There was chastening in 30. Mm-hmm. So 33. Carry one to another. So we start with 34. Let's read 34 and then Romans 12. 1, 2, together. All right. Starting with verse 34. Those that are listening to us, be sure to call us if you have any comments or questions. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. All right, let's begin by reading verse 34.
How do we start with 33?
I start with 33. Talk about the Lord's Supper there. 33, 34. Just a few verses, and we'll pick up chapter 12 after that. 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. All right, verse 33. My brethren, who are the brethren? What does that mean in Scripture? Any hands on that?
Oh.
Yes, 10.
Fellow believers,
whether men or women, they're called brethren. It's one word that means for both people, but genuine Christians. When you come together, when were they coming together in this particular context? Yes, 10, you got something?
This thing is BibleForToday.org, but the picture is frozen.
Which is what? That's
the answer. We're coming together for the Lord's table.
This is for the Lord's table.
BibleForToday.org.
Okay, so Pastor Dan has done. Who is that to mention?
What are we doing?
Well, something not coming through with BibleForToday.org. So Pastor Dan's going to see if they can fix that up for us. They tarry one another at the Lord's table. Now they don't all pounce on the thing and so on, but just wait, be patient. In our services, we usually awake, and after the scriptures are read, prayers made, then we partake, all of us together. I think that's wise. And then in verse 34,
Don't you think they were eating a regular meal and after the meal they did this or something like
that? Yes, that could be. But at the meeting, even at the communion service at that time.
Well, kind of going back to the eating, everyone taketh before another.
Mm-hmm.
Don't separate it. One is hungry and another is drunken.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with tarrying, too.
Yes.
Where's that?
And verse 34, 33 and 34.
And verse 21.
Or 21 also. All right. Right, so if there's a hungry situation, if this is a question of hunger, it's not at the Lord's table. That shouldn't be the thing to eat as much bread as you can and drink as much juice. Yes, Pa?
Probably when Jesus did this, they probably ate a regular meal, and then afterwards he took from some things that were just left on the table and had a little stuff. Don't you think?
I'm not sure of that.
I thought they did. Thought
it
that.
Could be. It could be because it wasn't like church today. We were preparing if you think, but who knows? But Paul is teaching him here in 1 Corinthians 11, if you're really hungry, well, don't use the Lord's table to satisfy that hunger. Where is the person who's hungry to eat? It's not at the Lord's table. Where did he eat in verse 34?
At
home. At home, that's right.
Which is interesting because I remember growing up, that I was told that I wasn't supposed to eat an hour before, I went to mass because when you get the Eucharist, you're not supposed to eat anything before, which is very contrary to the scripture here.
Yes, very good.
I don't know where it came from, but I just remember being told that.
News, didn't know that. Here's home that he come not together under condemnation. Were the Corinthians condemned in this chapter?
Yes.
And for what? What was the reason?
Because they were eating.
No, Tammy? Hands on first.
Well, I mean, some of them were hungry, and others were drunken, and they weren't examining themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they were guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, because they were eating unworthily.
Mm-hmm. Right, Vaughn?
Nothing, I forgot what I was
going to say. Okay. And what was happening to them if they're reading unworthily in verse number 30? Any hands on that? Yeah, 10?
They were either weak, maybe spiritually or
mm-hmm.
physically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the weakness would probably be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And sickly would be, physical.
Mm-hmm.
And many are dead.
And they're asleep and are dead. That's right. So it's very important that we come not together under condemnation.
But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently they had it so mixed up with regular eating meal, and then the Lord's Supper, that maybe they couldn't discern which was which.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know what the Lord's body was, speaking of the Lord's Supper. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure the way we do it is the right way. It's the way we've always done it all our life.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in the chaplaincy, we used to come forward and they put it on your...
Mm-hmm.
But
what did we do in the chaplaincy? Did we participate in
the...
Did we participate in that as a Navy chaplain?
I think I did.
I don't think I did. I never took it. It was wrong.
I remember having to put it in my... Not all the time. Maybe it depends on the circumstances.
Maybe you did, but I just didn't want any part of it. So, Lord's Supper, that's on them, but I don't...
What did you call it?
The Lord's Supper.
No, you said the intinction method?
Oh, she said the intinction method, yes. But with drinking the wafer and the wine, you've got like Catholics. Don't they do that? Or not? Don't you put the wafer in the wine?
And then when I was priest, growing up, they weren't doing that.
But the priest then teaches them. Yeah,
he does. He does it, but...
Yeah. Not the people.
Not at the time
when I was growing up. Now they do things
a little differently, so
mm-hmm.
I can't
speak.
Well, that was when you were growing up, so when we were in the chaplain
before
that.
That's one place we didn't Baptist as a Baptist Bible-believing Christian. We don't go along with the
type. Somewhere, I don't know whether it was in the chaplaincy or where, but somewhere I had a different kind of communion than I usually do in the Baptist.
Well, maybe I was away at Okinawa while you were home. Maybe you did something that I didn't know about.
Well, I wasn't speaking behind
you. I didn't say that, but what I didn't know about, It's not sneaking, sir. They said, no, what were you doing?
I remember sometimes they put something in my mouth. I don't know what I was just saying.
That's what the priests do before they
die. That's what the Roman Catholics do. They're whoever gives the communion, it's not necessarily a priest, but there's certain people they have a communicant or something. They have a certain title that they're given, and they stand there, and the people walk up and
there's a big crowd. I've seen that.
And they say, "Body of Christ."
Yes.
You're supposed to say, "Amen." And then
Bill.
Stick your tongue out.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the priest washed his hands before he stuck the wafer in your mouth.
I wonder. I don't know.
He smiled. He touched it.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
But notice in verse 34 that you come not together to condemnation, but judgment, if it's done wrong. And what does he say about when he comes? What's he going to do when he comes in verse 34? Yes?
34?
In verse 34. What's he going to do when he comes? At 10?
He's going to set things in order.
Set things in order. Straighten them out if they're wrong or anything. Any other comments in chapter 11 before we move on to chapter 12? Well, let's read chapter 12, verses 1.
Didn't he say that another time, or was it the only time, that when I come to
have
set it in order?
Well, I'm sure
they're probably afraid for him to come.
Well, he gave them all these instructions in the chapter. He's going to speak to them, set them in order. He had 10.
And it says YouTube is working well.
Good. YouTube is working well. That's fine.
So if you're watching a frozen picture, you go over to YouTube at BFTBC. You type that in once you get to YouTube, and they'll bring up the church.
BFTBC, type it in YouTube. All right. So in other words, the sermon audio is not working, is it?
No, I don't know. Well, she's not looking at sermon audio.
Something, okay.
She's looking at YouTube, and well, she started looking at the website, and the website was the picture was frozen.
I see. All right, let's read chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. All right, verse 1. What is the topic of this first verse?
Well, he says he's talking about spiritual gifts.
All right, and how would you define spiritual gifts, you think?
It's a special gift that was given, I guess, during the apostolic age confirm the apostles in their work.
Mm-hmm. And when did the spiritual gifts, specific spiritual gifts, like we mentioned here, cease?
At the close of the canon of Scripture.
Which is approximately?
About 100 AD.
Yeah, 90 or 100 AD. And do all people think that that's when this season?
90
to 100 AD. He said,
that's what this period of time was?
Well, that's when the spiritual gifts ceased. Yeah.
People think that they continue.
That's right. What are the groups called that think they continue the spiritual gifts?
Pentecostals.
Charismatics. Or what?
In our life, what's 90 to 100
AD.
Mm-hmm. In our life, compared to our date.
Well, we're 2018. We're AD 2018.
Jesus Christ, what is it?
About 1900 years ago.
Yeah, about 1900 years ago. It stopped.
It started back then.
Yes, AD stands for what in Latin?
Anno Domini.
What's Anno Domini?
The day of our Lord.
In the day of the Lord, that's right, the day of the Lord. And of course, BC, we just say we don't like it pretty easy, but now there's another expression for time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it? What's it called?
CE.
CE, what is that?
Common era.
And some people.
CE. Before the common era.
And some people call it BC, before the Christian era. Some people say instead of common, they say Christian era. CE, the Christian era.
Well,
some.
I mean, most Jewish people that I know, there was one professor in particular who was teaching Jewish history,
mm-hmm.
and he would say BCE, referring to before the common era.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to bring in the word Christian.
Right. But what he meant was before Lord Jesus was born.
Right, exactly.
All right. So, spiritual gifts is the topic of verse number 1.
The common ear is still demarcated by, or however, whatever the word is I'm looking for, by that, time when Christ came.
So. Exactly. It's all marked up. Questions at vftdc.org, 856-261. 9018, give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you whenever you can give us that. Or just say hello. Now, what does this last part of verse 1 mean? I would not have you ignorant. Yes, Pat?
He wants them to have the spiritual knowledge of spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts and proper knowledge.
And their use, the proper use of them.
That's right. Ignorant means what?
Without knowledge.
Without knowledge. Ig is not, and ignorance is for knowing. And some Christians are ignorant of scriptures many times. The scriptures, what they said for. Yes, ma'am?
Seems like ignorant is worse than dumb. Dumb is sort of slander, but.
Yeah.
But ignorant, to be called ignorant, means you don't know anything.
Well, the word today would be very. Very slanderous, very bad, ignorant, but in this case it means not knowing something, not yet
there. She says, I thought it was in the year of our Lord, and then she says, what makes it a common era?
Is that a question?
She said she thought it was before, in the year of our Lord, A.D., in the year of our Lord.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, is that right? Is it in the year of our Lord, or is it?
I suppose.
What do we?
AD. I just would say what it stands for. I'm almost here, and Dominus. Probably in, put it in the year of our Lord. That's fine.
Okay. And then what makes it a common era, she says. It's a question mark.
Oh, yeah. I know. The Jewish thinks it's common because they don't want to say in the Christian era.
Right.
All right. So.
Common is versus uncommon.
Yes. He doesn't want.
Careful.
He's Christian. What does brother mean here again? What does brother mean here? Any hands on that? Brother.
Where's brother?
Verse 1. What does that mean in this place? Devon?
Well, this means a Christian man, I think.
Only?
Well,
yes. See, the word brethren includes men and women both.
But it's actually kind of brethren.
Well, that's true. But the meaning of that is for all Christians. It's generally speaking, those brethren genuinely saved for the Lord.
Is that
what it
is? Anthropos?
Pardon me?
Oh, Pastor Hans said anthropos.
For brethren, yeah.
Yeah, is that the word?
See, but anthropos says it's going to be sometimes meant sometimes when it means generally people. People, see, generally people.
Well, maybe that makes more sense.
And if it's male, it's on air. Yeah. Okay.
From your, does not the cross of Christ opening salvation to all, thus common, rather than previously, where the children of Israel were the more general recipients of truth?
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Mm-hmm.
So common, it's really pointing to Christ too.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right.
Someone said day of our Lord. Okay.
The day of our Lord, yes.
Maybe I said it.
Bill.
Oh no, I'll just wave at Anna.
Oh, let's wave at Anna.
Hi, Anna.
We haven't waved for yet. Hi, Anna. Good to see you back there. All right. So wouldn't have you ignorant of the real purpose of the spiritual gift. In other words, without any knowledge. Today, you use the word ignorant, an ignoramus, in a very damning sort of way, sort of a wrong way. Yeah.
Ignorant, I mean, it's just them not knowing.
That's all it means. That's all it means.
Right.
I mean, if you start to mean yourself, you use the word today, you're ignorant. I mean, it's usually like an insult of some sort.
Yes,
ultimately, it means you don't know.
Not knowing something.
I mean, it still means you don't know today.
That's right.
But people are very sensitive today about everything. But
yes.
But no one wants to be called ignorant.
No,
what would be a better word if someone doesn't know anything? Doesn't know from anything. Doesn't know a specific skill. Doesn't know a specific task. What's a better word to use?
There's no specific task?
What's a better word?
It wouldn't be stupid.
What's a better word if someone is not aware of a specific discipline, a specific body of knowledge, a specific...
Well, ignorant.
Still.
They're ignorant.
He's asking a specific question. What he wants the answer for is not having certain knowledge. Not having certain knowledge of a specific test. So that's exactly what it is. It's not having real knowledge. And Well, the scriptures present a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm ignorant of a lot of things.
Well, don't use the word ignorant. The Bible doesn't mean stupid. The Bible means not knowing something. That's all.
He is the sinners.
Yeah. It's different than being ignorant of something than to be called ignorant.
The Bible
depends who's calling you.
The Bible does not use it in a damning, hurtful, negative way to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm saying it over and over again. This word for ignorant is a good English word at 1611. All it meant is they don't know sometimes.
The best way to not be ignorant then is to learn what the Lord wants to tell us.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the Apostle Paul says that, and he says in other passages, you know, he explains exactly what he wants them to know.
Right.
So he's not saying, I want you are ignorant. He's saying, I don't want you to be.
That's right, exactly. Pastor
Dan. I mean, I'm not positive. I'm having a hard time getting to my source here. But agnosis, isn't that what it would be?
Yeah, probably agnosis, yeah, not knowing.
I'm not positive.
Yes.
And that's
all it is. That's right.
I mean, maybe I'm mistaken on this.
Not knowing something is actually what it is.
He's not trying to insult the church of course there.
Not an insult. We've got to be sure that we remember what 1611 ignorant meant. It means not knowing something. That's what it means.
Ignorant, that's worse.
But don't confuse it with today's garbage language. This is a scriptural translation in 1611. It means not knowing something. Like Titanic, that's what I asked.
Yeah, from your... The agnostics seem to call themselves ignorant.
Not knowing. Agnostic, that's exactly. Not knowing. Agnostic means not knowing.
Is that a joke about...
No, that's true.
Well, it's funny in a way.
Yeah, they don't
Because they're so proud of being agnostic.
Yes.
Not knowing.
Not knowing.
They don't know if there's a God or not. So
that's
they're
right.
Agnostic.
Exactly.
They're not knowing.
They're not knowing. It's a good word.
Right,
exactly. That's exactly what Anna just said. They don't know if God is there, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to use this sentence and definition. There's none so blind as those who will not see. Mm-hmm. None so blind as those that will not see. I'm not interested in seeing anything. Blind as a bat. All right, it's good, not good to be blind to the scriptural thing.
That's
just a quotation. They're blind as a bat. Those that will not see. No, are people blind as they will not see. Yeah.
If you will not see,
not, what is
that's that? Different than not being able to see. That means
not able to
blind
see.
Or not.
Exactly right.
It's the brother is the Delphos, not Anthropos.
It's a love one.
She comes from love one. A steward that's good. Like the city of Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love?
Right.
Adolphos.
Mm-hmm.
What's the same word?
But sometimes Adolphos would probably refer
to both the male and
both. All right, so we've got to be fair. Not be ignorant of these spiritual gifts, but understand. Then in verse number 2, what does he say that ye know something? What do these people at Corinth know? He says, you know it. What do they know? In verse number 2.
They know that they were Gentiles.
And what were the Gentiles? For what's
unbelievers.
All right. And then 10?
They worshiped the idols. They were carried away by them.
Well, what does dumb mean? Now, again, we've got to use Bible terms. Yeah, 10.
They couldn't talk.
See,
They couldn't see. And they were made out of wood that they burn and eat their food
with. Right. They're ignorant. They couldn't know. They didn't know.
They couldn't even talk.
Well, the idols can't talk. No.
They're stone. They're stone. They're wood. You know.
Talking about idols.
Yeah. They're stone.
I forgot.
The big idea when he says the dumb idols, I mean, the idols, the stones, the images that they make with their own hands,
yes.
They have no way of communicating. They can't talk.
You see, there again, a lot of people use this word dumb in a completely different way in 2018.
Well,
yes, Dan?
I remember when I was growing up, my grandmother said, I think it was my grandmother, she's a woman dumb, it means cannot. So, you know, because
yes,
it had changed connotations from the time when, you know, she was growing up and what she remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a profane or common term.
No.
You know, it's a it doesn't mean stupid.
No, that's right.
It's the phrase at one point out of death and dumb doesn't mean insulted, buddy.
No, that's enough.
You can't hear and you can't speak.
That's exactly what deaf and dumb means. It's not dumb as being a dumb, but everything is good. Just can't speak, come on.
I can't marry as dumb. I was on work, something I'm dumb, but now I don't know what it is.
Well, it means I'm unable to speak. That's it.
Oh, dumbfounded, like.
Well, dumbfounded, that's a good word.
What does that mean?
And I'm just completely amazed.
Well, sometimes if somebody's saying something and mm-hmm. you're, whatever they say, it's so shocking to you, mm-hmm. you don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe a little bit over your intelligence, over your thinking.
Well,
over your head.
It could just be a shock to you.
Yeah,
shock. You don't know.
It's news that makes you dumbfounded.
Yes, exactly. All right, so these were dumb idols, and that means what again? What are dumb idols?
They cannot
speak. Cannot talk. They cannot talk, they cannot walk. There's some of them built with two hands and one head and the feet. They can't walk, but they're just actually helpless, yes.
Do you know where that passage is? I think it's in Isaiah, where it talks about the idol, and it talks about how they fashion it out of wood, and that wood is what they used to cook their food, mm-hmm. and you know, it's like several different purposes
yes.
for that wood,
mm-hmm.
and it just shows the folly of
yes.
you know, the whole idea of having an idol mm-hmm. made out of wood or stone or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
It's hard to find a book for before I can find it.
Well, somebody wants to look at the idols in Isaiah. Maybe Rob could do that, or Jacob could be some of these people that are looker-uppers. Okay, so let's go. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. And so it's a strange thing that people make these dumb idols. They can't speak or talk or work or whatever, can't walk, and yet they worship them as if they are powerful. How could something you make be more powerful than you, see? But God, our Heavenly Father, made the whole world, the universe, and stars, and planets, and men and women, and animals. He is powerful, and these idols, it's really stupid for people to make idols and worship them. It's really stupid. It's ridiculous. We might want to use the word D-U-M-B, but we might want to use the word D-U-M-B for these people that worship idols, but that's not what the word means.
We can't speak.
Agnosis. Okay. Then in verse number 3, what does Paul want the Corinthians to do or to understand? What does he want? What action does he want them to have in verse number 3? But the spiritual gifts. Ron?
He wanted them to understand that no man speaking in the Spirit of God would call Jesus accursed.
All right. Are there people today, even ministers today, that border on calling Jesus accursed?
Yes.
Yes. What would qualify that, to use that term? How would somebody believe or not believe, and that would be the same, almost the same as calling Jesus accursed? What are some of the things they might believe about the Lord Jesus that would be a
term? Well, if you believe that, you know, Jesus needs to be sacrificed over and over.
Oh, yes.
And over every single day.
That's
every,
right.
Almost every moment.
It's all
hour.
Over the world. That's mm-hmm. right. For the Mass and the Roman Catholicism. And Bill?
There's no persecution of religion in the world except in the Christian world. These organizations that are freedom from religious movement, and some of these other atheist organizations, a lot of political documents that outline humanistic thought, like the Humanist Manifesto and things like that. They're, what inspired them was Christianity. They don't care if Buddhism exists or Hinduism or the Sikhs or any of the other religious organizations. They don't care about them at all. They're not insulted by them. It's Christianity,
mm-hmm.
which they despise.
Yes.
It makes me wonder, why do they despise Jesus Christ so much? Why do they pick on him and mm-hmm. not the others as well?
Yes. Of course, the people that are Muslims if you don't follow just exactly what they do, they either kill you or do something. So they've got a terrible persecution of their own people, which is sad.
Yeah.
And Christians don't persecute their own self, but sometimes they do. Used to, yes.
Yeah. All those other religions Bill was talking about, they're all works-oriented. It's not a trusting... Works-oriented.
Works-oriented,
it's
yes.
not about trusting mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Christ. What mm-hmm. He did, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding that all He did was sufficient for mm-hmm. eternal life. We don't need to work our way to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so it goes counterculture. Plus, we have a resurrected Savior, which mm-hmm. none of those religions have.
That's right. Now, how else could people call, might say, is calling him a curse? Get that?
Well, sometimes when people speak in tongues today, mm-hmm. they actually are cursing.
Yes, sometimes that's right. People that know the language, they tell, and it's a term satanic.
Right.
People that know that language, they give the... What else do people call Jesus a curse? Now, what about the Gnostics? What they believe, is that the same as actually calling Jesus a curse? What do the Gnostics believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, Bill.
They believe he was human, that he was a created being.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the creator at all.
Mm-hmm.
They also believe only what they can conceive of in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
They have theories or ideas about Jesus, about God, mm-hmm. but it's all in accordance with what they feel that they are capable of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to realize that God is much greater than
yes.
any of us could possibly understand.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us His Word, the Bible, so that we can learn from that, mm-hmm. and we can learn to understand Him better.
Mm-hmm.
But He's not revealing everything to us. We're
right.
not capable of understanding.
Right. That's Him.
Anna said Isaiah 44:15-19.
Good.
I think that's the verses that I was looking at. I'm looking for, rather. Let's see. I'll start with verse 14. He heareth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, the rain doth nourish it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he killeth it and baketh bread, or rather he kindleth it
mm-hmm.
and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth. He falleth he maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down to it and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree?
That's good. That's 44.
44.
That's good. Thank you. Wait, say that again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's very good. Our men didn't fall in, but...
Starts
with what
verse? Verse 15.
Verse 15. Very good.
14.
One more thing on verse 2, then we'll close for the night. But when the Gnostics believed that Jesus was just simply a man, he was not God, that's a curse for him. Believed he didn't create anything, believed he was a sinner, believed he needed to be saved. Now, all these things cause Jesus a curse, but if you speak with the Spirit of God, you can't call the Savior any of these bad, bad things. All right, any other comments before we close tonight? We'll pick this up orderly next Thursday. Well, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you we can talk about these things, these spiritual gifts, many people falsely continue to think that they're using them now. We think they're devilish. We think the devil is pushing this. And the sad thing, many people that understand some of the tongues that they use, who understand the language, say they're cursed and they're diabolical. So, Lord, keep us strong. Keep us not without knowledge of the things of heaven, things of this Bible. Help us to read and study. Help us to, Lord, have our Lord Jesus to be King and Lord of our lives, and not ever curse Him by what we do, what we say, what we don't do, and what we don't say. Bring us back safely for the Lord's Day and guide us in practice as we seek to please the Lord and Master who died for the sins of the world. In His name we ask it. Amen. Thanks for coming.